Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Saturday, and I get excited. The first of three shows. This is the first one. This is the big one out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's the Doc Talk Podcast, hosted by the doctor, Gregory Roscoe, out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, playing a little co-host, producing it live in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. It goes by quick. We see the listeners. We get the questions, the comments, everything. Also, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as we lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the first thing I always ask the doc is, how is he? Second of all, how can he be reached? And third of all, boy, do we got a topic, part one of two, dental infections.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. You've said a lot already, Mark. I'm doing great. You know, the summer's moving along here in Pittsburgh, beautiful weather. The Buccos aren't doing that great, are they?
No.
And, Mark, they're what? How many games under 500 is it now, Mark?
I think they're 13 games under 500, but you know what? I like the direction they're going next 3.5 months. You know, sometimes you got to put those young kids in there, take their lumps, take their bruises, and that's the only way you can get the experience and expertise to challenge the big boys.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I mean, I think that's very, very positive, Mark. But, hey, we're doing well. You know, the practice, the weather, it's just a beautiful time in Pittsburgh. If people would like to get a hold of me, GJRMD308@outlook.com. You know, our topic today, Mark, is really an important one. Dental infections, periodontal infections that lead to dental disease and loss of teeth. And, you know, as far as the big topic here, and the reason we're even bringing it up, I have been seeing a lot of infections in the neck and in the jaw. We've seen these from bad teeth. So that overall, bad teeth can lead to more serious issues. And that really stimulated the topic. So as far as, say, if I may proceed here, Mark, you know, the term that people want to look this up, it's called odontogenic infection. And odontogenic infection has to do with the teeth and the gums. Usually when we talk about dental infections in the teeth, we talk about dental caries or decay. And we've all heard about decay in our teeth. The other issue, more importantly, is the periodontal disease. And that involves gingivitis, which is inflammation of the gum tissue, and then a little more deeper and serious, periodontitis. However, dental caries and periodontal disease both can lead to dental tooth loss. The other thing that this can lead to is more serious infections in the head and neck. Now, today we don't see that as much as years ago because we have more access for our patients coming to doctors, but also the use of antibiotics. And, you know, in the past, these infections could be very deadly. They also could lead to something called a bacteremia, which would affect the heart valves. And it could go ahead, damage the heart valves, or if someone had a prosthetic heart valve, it could give them serious problems. It also affects pregnant females. If overall they have very poor dental hygiene, they probably could have a preterm baby, very low birth weight. It also infects the arteries in our heart, coronary arteries. It also can lead to strokes. So dental disease, seriously, has a lot going on. We don't see as much as we once did causing these problems. And, Mark, I have a few statistics I'd like to just share. Then we, of course, can open it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, on a global basis, nearly half the world's population today suffers from dental decay and periodontal disease. Half the world. Another statistic is 2.5 billion people worldwide have severe dental disease that leads to complete dental loss. I thought those numbers were striking. And, Mark, that's kind of opening up the show here. Do you have anything on your side at this point?
Yeah, we got people coming in. Let me get Gail from Clearwater, Florida, regular contributor to the show. Says, guys, your show is picking up steam down here. Love it. Got some friends involved in it. But she goes, she wants to take this thing a little further. She goes, toothpaste, growing up, Crest was always the one that she always used. There's other ones, Colgate out there, Ames, stuff like that. But Crest seems to be the best toothpaste. One, any comment on that? And two, you know, she was always brought up to brush her teeth three times a day. Sometimes people don't have time. They should carry their toothbrush to work with them, put in their little, you know, thing, and then after they eat, brush your teeth, get all that stuff, you know, off your enamel and stuff. So two questions, one with toothpaste, two, brushing your teeth three times a day. That's Gail from Clearwater, Florida, my friend.
Shirley, good morning, Gail. You know, as far as, again, we're talking about a brand of toothpaste. There are many brands, Mark, as you know. There's Crest, there's Colgate, there's Sensodyne. There's just a variety. Crest was one of the first toothpastes to have fluoride. All right, it was fluoridated toothpaste, which was very important many years ago because the water supplies never had fluoride in. So over the years, water companies and local authorities started to put fluoride in local water supply, which helped to keep the teeth strong. In addition to that, our toothpaste makers decided also to put fluoride in the toothpaste. So that would help prevent dental caries or eating away of the dental enamel. So I think that maybe would help. With regard to then having a fluoridated toothpaste, how do you use it? You know, what mechanism? And we were going to get into mechanisms of action and treatment, but I can sure talk about it now. With regard to dental care, number one, we want to brush 2 to 3 times a day, ideally after every meal. Also, we like to floss once a day, typically before you go to bed. You want to use a soft toothbrush. You don't want a hard, firm toothbrush. It can wear away the enamel and the cementum of our teeth. So we want to kind of, you know, incorporate that behavior. Ideally, after our breakfast, you know, if you want to brush them when you get up, after breakfast. And then, Mark, there's no problem, I don't believe. And I do it myself, to be honest with you. I have, when I'm in surgery all day, I have my toothpaste, my toothbrush. I go into the restroom after my lunch. I brush my teeth. And just kind of a habit every day. And then, of course, I might brush later in the day as well, but after my dinner, I do the same thing. I would say flossing. You know, once you get pretty proficient at flossing, very, very good way to clean between the teeth. It's about a 10-minute activity or so. Usually, we want to use dental tape, T-A-P-E, not dental floss. The reason? The dental floss can be very abrasive to the gum. The tape, which is a little wider, tends to clean big of a larger surface area, but also is kinder to the gingiva. Okay? So what I would say, brushing 3 times a day, maybe after our lunch, on our lunch hour, you know, either in our desk, we have a clean case to put our toothbrush in, our toothpaste, and do that right after lunch. But again, good health care begins with some of these basic behaviors, keeping our teeth. But I would say, please brush, use a fluoridated toothpaste, and if you can floss on a daily basis, please use dental tape and a soft toothbrush. Do you think that?
Well, we got more and more comments coming in. Russ from Bucks County, PA, basically says when he went to the dentist, they wanted to pull a couple teeth, more or less. If you don't pull those teeth, he was told you can get an infection if they break. And I guess get caught in the bloodstream and stuff. I don't know anything about that, but I'm going to turn it over to you. coming out of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, how important that is if you got a chipped tooth, if they say they got to pull a tooth because it's just sitting there doing no use, how important is it to take that out of your mouth?
Surely. You know, as far as if we have, you know, bad teeth, and, you know, if I can kind of weave in the topic here, you know, bad teeth could mean decay, that the surface of the teeth is rotting away due to decay. The second part of this is the bone that holds the tooth in. And, you know, overall, if you have those two diseases, the dental disease and the periodontal disease, where the bone is shrinking away, the tooth, probably the best way is to get rid of it and get it out of your mouth. What we want to do, though, is prevent process from getting that far down the line so that you don't eliminate your teeth, but you keep them healthy. And that's what we were going to talk about today and next week, Mark, is that we don't want this process occurring that we have decay and then we have periodontal shrinkage of the bone. And it sounds like, and I believe in Bucks County, the water is fluoridated, that, you know, overall, if health care hasn't been that good or dental care hasn't been that good and there's one or two bad teeth, let's get them out. But let's try to salvage the remaining teeth, indeed, if he has them in his mouth.
Ed, Tom from Dallas, Texas, coming in, another regular on the show, basically says to you, Doc, you know, when you lose that many teeth, how do you retain it if you lose that, you know, they have to be pulled? Are you regulated to implants? What are you regulated to then if you can't, you know, afford to replace those teeth?
So that,
wow, what a question.
I believe the question is that overall, if you've had dental extractions, your teeth have been removed, if I'm understanding correctly, what are the options? What can be done? And, you know, if we're talking now on a scale that all the teeth have been removed, then overall, you know, they do have dentures that there is availability of putting posts in to the jawbone, which the denture would then attach to, so the denture doesn't ride. And it can be done on the top as well as the bottom. It's almost like a dental implant, but it is an attachment that holds the denture in and bottom and allows our patients to chew, smile, and have good facial appearance. If we're talking, Mark, more of a limited situation where we have one or two or three teeth removed, then depending on where they are, either in the top jaw or the bottom jaw, and again, you have to look at the sinuses, a variety of other things, and the nerve canals, but then implants may be the way to go, all right, that they can go ahead and do implants, possibly support a bridge on the implants to fill the space. Now, may I continue?
Yes.
Having said all that, Mark, I know we're having an awful lot of calls. The reason to do that, to replace these missing teeth, to put a denture in the top and a denture in the bottom, Mark, is to secure our jaw and our bite. If we don't secure that bite, that leads us to another problem, and that is something we have talked about, TMJ, that the jaw joint is not being supported and therefore starts to give us pain, wearing away of the joint, cracking in the jaw, ear pain. So as far as, you know, kind of going down the road, let's take care of what we have. If indeed we're doing that, we have missing teeth, let's see about a replacement. There are several, you know, cost-effective ways to replace. Implants are one of the more expensive, but indeed they last a lifetime. So it's something, you know, go ahead with your professional, discuss the options and the current situation of your mouth and the remaining teeth. You don't want to spend lots of dollars for implants if your teeth aren't healthy. If you have periodontal disease, don't spend a lot of money. Let's see what we can do to prevent further decay, but don't put a lot of money in your mouth on a implant basis. It may be better to have several, if not all, the teeth extracted and then go in with a denture. So that's kind of, Mark, not knowing all the facts, what some of the thinking would be.
Yeah. Robin from Youngstown, Ohio, chiming in. She says, you know, there's always these advertisements out there that say you can get a new set of teeth for $12,000. I don't know what that's all about. Is that a scam or anything? Might as well hear from the horse's mouth, and, you know, and she really enjoys this show.
Well,
Robin from Youngstown.
Yes, Robin. I haven't seen the commercial that we'll give you new teeth for $12,000. But I would say there's no doubt they can give you new teeth for $12,000. You know, and again, it's a variety. If indeed you have a need for dentures, dentures are a little less expensive than that. If they're talking about crown and bridge work, where they're putting the post in, they're actually drilling down some of your teeth to be abutments for a bridge, putting crowns on them, it can be very costly. And again, I have not seen the advertisement, so we would need to read the disclaimer there as well, Robin. But before I would go and spend that kind of money, I would maybe get a second opinion. I may see my regular dentist. You may want to see a periodontist who is a gum surgeon, gum doctor, looking at your teeth, looking at the bone, looking at the pockets to see if you'd be a candidate to have crown and bridge work overall. But I would be a little cautious, but indeed, depending on what your clinical situation is, I would get a second opinion and then make sure you're dealing with credible people before you want to spend an awful lot of money like that. But I hope I was somewhat helpful in answering that, Robin.
You know, and you bring up, and I want to follow up before I bring a couple more questions to the mix in this. So I'm trying to figure this out. If there is this thing where they'll give you a whole new set of teeth, Doc, for $12,000,
yeah,
what do they do with the old teeth that are in there? Are they just yanking them out and then they're putting these new teeth in? You know, educate me a little on this, and make, you know, and maybe,
well,
I'm throwing a question out there that the listeners might jump on now, because I don't. You know, she brought up an interesting question.
Well, indeed, you know, I think it's a little bit hard to give you detail, but indeed,
right,
if we're talking about, Mark, again, now there's several ways to go ahead and restore dental problems, all right? Now, again, if the teeth themselves are breaking down and carious, if indeed the bony areas are shrinking away so there's mobility to the teeth, then they, of course, may need a denture, a full denture. And again, full dentures don't cost $12,000. If, on the other hand, there are missing teeth, but very good, solid, and we use the word abutment or anchoring teeth, then if they were to do crown and bridge, where they go ahead, do some grinding, take impressions, put caps on the teeth, and then bridge the gap, that may be a good deal. But, Mark, you know, some of these advertisements, you got to read the disclaimer. Are they talking about one arch, two arches?
Right.
Are they talking about a quarter of an arch? Again, very misleading. And personally, I haven't seen that ad. I don't know if it's a TV ad or a radio ad or something on the Internet. But I would be just a little bit cautious about doing that. You know, I would check the credibility of the Better Business Bureau about the dentist or whomever is doing that before I would go in and start to get an opinion. But I definitely would get two opinions by certified professionals before I would start working on that kind of dentistry.
Sally from Burlington, Vermont, regular listener on this show, and we appreciate you, Sally. She says, with toothpaste, the whitening toothpaste, She drinks some coffee and stuff. You know, it's hard to get them stains out when you drink coffee a lot or stuff like that. But as far as whitening toothpaste, what is this? Does it really work, or is it taking, you know, the enamel off? Is it a bleach type of thing? I'm sitting back and listening for your comment with about 10 minutes left in this great show, my friend.
Ooh. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the call, Sally. Whitening toothpaste. You know, there's different – I use the word strengths of toothpaste. Whitening is an abrasive toothpaste. You know, it's like different types of sandpaper. They have the very, very fine, the very coarse. That's what's going on with these abrasive toothpastes. And indeed, yes, they're meant to take away stains of coffee and soda, different types of foods. But realize some enamels are very porous on these teeth. And indeed, just the whitening toothpaste may not clear the enamel. Now, there are professional treatments to go ahead for whitening. And your dental professional can sure advise you on what the best would be. But a lot depends on the quality of your teeth. And one must be careful if they have a softer enamel and a porous enamel to start doing an abrasive treatment, because indeed you're wearing away that protection. So I think, you know, again, with that seeing, touching, and visualizing, I think we need our dental professional to take a look. Talk to your hygienist. See indeed if that makes sense with regard to what you would like to do. The other, of course, is your cleaning habits and your drinking habits. You know, if you're a coffee drinker, maybe brush after each cup of coffee, all right? And indeed, you want to make sure your gums are healthy to keep the teeth in place. But with this, you do have to know the quality of your enamel before you start doing a lot of bleaching, either grinding or cleansing. Thank you.
Well, Aaron from Danbury, Connecticut says if you buy cheap toothpaste at the dollar store, that's a chance you take and you get what you pay for. Sometimes it's better to get a real good toothpaste that's a little more expensive. That way, then you know it's recommended by dentists. Wow, that's another good question coming out of
Very
Danbury, Connecticut.
Absolutely, Mark. Very good question. And, you know, but Mark, you know what? In our lives, retail-wise, there's a whole series of products. You know, product A is not the same as product Z.
Right.
And pricing goes along with that. You know, when we're paying a third of the price for a product, it's not going to be the same as the brand name product. And, Mark, you know that with cars, with clothes, with a variety of things. You know, good quality, we all pay a little bit more. And, again, I mentioned, as I always do, with our health, let's compromise someplace else. All right? Let's buy a good toothpaste. You know, you want a brand name toothpaste. Look at the ingredients. See where the toothpaste is made. Are these cheaper toothpaste made in China, Taiwan? Where are they made? Because you're not sure of all the ingredients that are in there or the quality of the ingredients. So you need to be a good consumer for your body. Make sure you give your body the best treatment you can afford and do it knowledgeably. But you need to know what's in those different toothpastes. But once you understand that, you'll be able to see why that tooth product may be a lot cheaper.
Yeah, bringing one more to the equation with about 5 minutes left in the show. David from Boulder, Colorado, chiming in. He said, you know, he has a retainer, and when he got the retainer, they said you always got to try to keep it in water because otherwise it'll dry up. What's the reason for that? It won't fit right, he says. That's another good question.
Sure. You know, with regard to a retainer is an acrylic type of an appliance that holds the teeth in place. So no doubt he's had some orthodontic work or has had some teeth moved, and the retainer tends to hold things in place. That's the purpose of it. Now, the resin that's used for that can dry. When it does dry, it's possible to shrink in different dimensions so that the retainer may not fit, it may not give him the same result that was intended by his dentist or orthodontist. So I would tell him, follow the instructions that you were given, because you want to maintain the quality, the integrity, but also don't defeat the purpose of the retainer. And if they tell you to wear it 12 hours a day, please wear it 12 hours of the day. But again, listen to the maintenance instructions for that piece of equipment. Because down the road, if it does shrink, then you may need to have another one made, and the same process could go on. But ask your dentist, your professional, how do you want me to take care of it, and then try to follow the instructions. The other thing, if I may add, with regard to, say, using the retainer and then putting it in water, make sure the water's clean, the container's clean. You brush the retainer before you put it in there. You want as little bacteria on that as possible, so that you want to maintain it. And usually these are for longer periods of time that indeed things could happen if not well cared for. Okay?
Wow. Unbelievable. And as we start to wrap up part one, is there a capper you can put on it before we talk about part two of dental infections next week?
Sure. Well, let me try here. You know, as far as what we're talking about today, you know, we're talking about the dental infections, the periodontal infections. And, Mark, just to put a little bit of a spin on everything here, I didn't get a chance to go into some basic anatomy, which I'll summarize. But, you know, as far as our teeth, I think we all remember we have two sets of teeth. We have the milk or the baby teeth. Then we have the permanent teeth. You know, we have 20 baby teeth, and they erupt 6 months to 2 years, and then they start to fall out 6 years to 12 years. And then they're replaced with our 32 permanent teeth. So that overall, these permanent teeth that are in our mouth start to come in about 12 years old. They're meant and designed to last a lifetime. Mark, and you know, the enamel covering on the teeth is the hardest structure in our body. So it is something, when the machine was designed, it was designed for a lifetime. And very quickly, just to put a cap on it, I would like to say something about Father's Day, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes.
That overall, you know, with regard to the bacteria, and I don't know if our listeners realize, there's over 1,000 different types of bacteria that are culturable in our mouth. So our mouth, as you know, is a very dirty place. Also, when we introduce sugar, sucrose, into our mouth, and we talked, Mark, we were talking about nutrition to eliminate as much sugar as possible. Sugar provokes these bacteria to form acid that eat away our teeth. So it's a very vicious cycle that occurs, but we need to do two things. We need to brush. We need to cut down on the sugar. Mark, that's what I would say today, and then I'd like to go on with our next session, kind of continuing about these dental diseases, okay?
Yeah, definitely, and I can attest to the first thing you talked about. My second granddaughter is 8 years old, and, boy, she looks like she's played hockey, losing that baby teeth now, trying to get the other teeth in there. Yep, and that's, boy, you hit it right on the button with that one. As we wrap this up, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. Let everybody know your great staff there in Pittsburgh because, boy, I wish you had an office in each state here. You'd be the guy that everybody would definitely come to.
Well, thank you. And, hey, Mark, you know what? I am in Pittsburgh. You can get a hold of me, GJRMD308@outlook.com. I want to say to our fathers, Happy Father's Day, and I have a little one-liner that my father had used to read to me when I started to have children. And he said, exceptional fathers are great, patient listeners, and phenomenally thoughtful question askers. So I've remembered that all my years with my children. I'm not always, you know, I can do that. But I try to remember that little one-liner about being a father. So thank you, Mancini Media. Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to speaking again to you all. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll leave you with one. My dad used to tell me, he said, son, nobody really cares what you know till they know how much you care. And, boy, is this a show with you involved in it that care. The listeners come back each and every week. We appreciate them. We'll be back next Saturday, same time across the channels. For Dr. Gregory Roscoe out there in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, tell all your friends, let them know what we're all about, and we'll see you again next week on the same network. Till then, have a blessed one, guys, and a safe Father's Day.
Thank you.